Psalm 8. This is the reading of God's Word. O Lord, O our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth, who have displayed your splendor above the heavens. From the mouth of infants and nursing babes, you have established strength because of your adversaries, to make the enemy and the revengeful cease. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained. What is man that you take thought of him, and the son of man that you care for him? Yet you have made him a little lower than God, and you crown him with glory and majesty. You make him to rule over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, and also the beasts of the field, the birds of the heavens and the fish of the sea, whatever passes through the paths of the sea. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this precious time of hearing your word. Bless us, grant us an ear to hear your word. And as we hear your word, let our faith grow and let us be more and more like your Son, Jesus Christ. Through your word, let us see what our Lord Jesus Christ has done and what he has accomplished for us. And through your word, let us have sweet fellowship with our Lord Jesus Christ. Bless us that your word will be preached correctly. And all of us, let us hear and let us understand and let us believe and let us obey your word to bring glory and honor to you. We pray that you and you alone will receive all the glory. Pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The title tells us that this is a King David's song. And the title also says, for the choir director under Gittith. And we do not know exact meaning of this word. Perhaps a name of an instrument or a name of a tune. But the same word appears in Psalm 81 verse 1 and 84 verse 1. But even looking at those verses, we don't know the exact meaning of this word. Well, let us look at the psalm itself then. Again, as I tell you every time I preach on these psalms, that we just don't have much time to look at these verses in detail. But our focus is on the big picture. I want you to have that big picture, then I will be satisfied. And that big picture is Jesus Christ. How does this psalm preach Jesus Christ? Well, let us look at from verse 1. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth, who have displayed your splendor above the heavens. David is looking at all the creation through the eyes of faith and through the Word of God. The whole creation that God has created by His Word of power. And he sees so much glory as he looks at man whom God has created as the ruler of all his creation. And only thing that David could do is to cry out to God, O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. How majestic, how beautiful, how splendid, how marvelous, how magnificent, how excellent, how great is His creation. O Lord, He says, He's God and He's King, our Lord, our God and our King. How majestic is Your name in all the earth. The Bible tells us that God is where His name is. David is not saying so much that the creation is so majestic. Yes, it is that, but he is saying that God, who created, who has created all the creation, He is majestic. All creation shines God's glory. Thus, His glory is revealed no matter where we look. Marvelous and amazing glory of God. Psalm 19 verse 1, the heavens are telling of the glory of God and their expanse is declaring the work of His hands. All creation is declaring the glory of God. It manifests the beauty of our God. It is all around us. And my question at this time is, how much time do you spend in wonder, in admiration, and enjoying the beauty of our God in His creation? Isaiah 40 verse 26, lift up your eyes on high and see who has created these stars, the one who leads forth their hosts by number. He calls them all by name. Because of the greatness of His might and the strength of His power, not one of them is missing. Psalm 104, verse 1 through 5, bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord, my God, You are very great. You are clothed with splendor and majesty, covering Yourself with light as with a cloak, stretching out heavens like a tent curtain. He lays the beams of His upper chambers in the waters. He makes the clouds His chariot. He walks upon the wings of the wind. He makes the winds His messengers, flaming fire His ministers. He established the earth upon its foundations, so that it will not totter forever and ever. So we see the glory of God and the beauty of God in all His creation. And the whole universe runs according to God's will. All the stars run their courses in perfect harmony according to God's design. God provides food to even a tiny insect. Psalm 104 verse 1, you are clothed with splendor and majesty, but the creation cannot reveal all the glory of God. You have displayed Your splendor above the heavens, but even the heavens cannot shine the full glory of God. Verse 2, from the mouth of infants and nursing babes, You have established strength because of Your adversaries, to make the enemy and the revengeful cease. God uses the weak things of the world to shame the strong. This principle is completely opposite of this world. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 27 through 28, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to shame the things which are strong. And the base things of the world and the despised God has chosen, the things that are not, so that He may nullify the things that are. With the praises from the mouth of infants and nursing babes, God silences His enemies, the revengeful, and His adversaries. Move on to verse 3. When I consider Your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained. Perhaps David was looking up the night sky. When I consider your heavens, the moon and the stars, and as David sees the vast night sky and the whole universe, he realizes that compared to that vast universe, man is so small. He's nothing. Like a speck of dust. So, verse 4, what is man that you take thought of him, and the son of man that you care for him? This question, what is man? I want you to ask that same question. You know, I read long ago in a science book that the number of stars in our universe is equal to all the grains of sand on the earth. I mean, if you scoop up a handful of grain of sand, can you even, like, how many grains of sand? But we're talking about all the grains of sand in this world. That's how many stars out there. So many, impossible to count. And you know, Earth is not even a star. The sun is a star, and Earth is just going around the sun. So the Earth is smaller than a grain of sand. Then how small is a man? You know, the light travels 186,000 miles in 1 second. That is about 7 times around the Earth in a 1 second. It takes light to travel 8 minutes to get to the sun. The light travels 6 trillion miles a year. Number 6 with 12 zeros. We use a light year as a measurement because this is so vast universe. If the light travels 8 billion light years, then it will reach the half point of the universe. Now, can you picture just how big this universe is? And in that universe, the earth is like a grain of sand. And on that little grain of sand, 7.8 billion people live on that little grain of sand. And I'm one of them. I am smaller than a speck of dust. You need a microscope to see me. And yet, I'm so proud, so arrogant. I think I'm great. Oh, you could tell I'm all that because if you just hear what I say to people. Psalm 144, verse 4, man is like a mere breath. His days are like a passing shadow. So this is why God's grace is so amazing. What is man that you take thought of him, and the son of man that you care for him? Verse 5 through 8, yet you have made him a little lower than God, and you crown him with glory and majesty. You make him to rule over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen and also the beasts of the field, the birds of the heavens and fish of the sea, whatever passes through the paths of the sea. You have made him, man, a little lower than God. The word, you have made him, is Elohim, the word for God. A little lower than God. God created man in his own image. Even though man is like a speck of dust, God made him supreme ruler over all things. Verses 5b through 6, and you crown him with glory and majesty. You make him to rule over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet. God has created man as the king who rules over all the other creations. Genesis chapter 1 verse 27 through 28, God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them. And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth, and subdue it, and rule over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the sky, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. Man, who is like a speck of dust, God has crowned him with glory and majesty. Crown him. What is the picture? It's a picture of king, because king wears crown. God has created man as king. Crown him with glory and majesty and put all things under his feet. The value, the dignity, the majesty of man is not earned by man through what he has done, but God gave to them to man. God crowned him with glory and majesty and put all things under his feet. This is how God has created us. But that's first two chapters of the Bible. Sin enters. Chapter 3. Sin enters and destroyed man's office of king. No more glory, no more majesty. Psalm 62 verse 9, men of low degree are only vanity, and men of rank are a lie. In the balances they go up. They are together lighter than breath. Isaiah 40 verse 6 and 7, a voice says, call out. Then he answered, what shall I call out? All flesh is grass, and all its loveliness is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flowers fade. When the breath of the Lord blows upon it, surely the people are grass. Thus the question, what is man? It's not a question that we are able to answer on our own, because if we were to do that, then it just would nothing. But what is man, that question? Only Jesus Christ can answer that question according to what he has done and what he has accomplished for us, according to the will of God. Matthew chapter 21 verse 14 through 16, the blind and the lame came to him in the temple and he healed them. But when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that he has done and the children who were shouting in the temple, Hosanna to the Son of David, they became indignant and said to him, do you hear what these children are saying? And Jesus said to them, yes, have you never read? Out of the mouth of infants and nursing babes, you have prepared praise for yourself. Do you see it? Psalm 8 is being fulfilled by our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the Lord, our Lord. In Jesus Christ, God Himself has come. And when you go to Hebrews chapter 2, the author of Hebrews explain to us Psalm 8. Let me read to you from verse 5. For he did not subject to angels the world to come, concerning which we are speaking. But one has testified somewhere saying, what is man? Oh, we read that somewhere. Well, Psalm 8. The author of Hebrews is explaining to us. But one has testified somewhere saying, what is man that you remember him, or the son of man that you are concerned about him? You have made him for a little while lower than the angels. You have crowned him with glory and honor, and have appointed him over the works of your hands. You have put all things in subjection under his feet. For in subjecting all things to him, he left nothing that is not subject to him. But now we do not yet see all things subjected to him. But we do see him who has made for a little while lower than the angels, namely Jesus, because of the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, so that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. For it was fitting for him, for whom are all things, and through whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to perfect the author of their salvation through suffering. For both he who sanctifies and those who are sanctified are all from one Father. For which reason he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will proclaim your name to my brethren. In the midst of the congregation, I will sing your praises. So we could see Hebrews chapter 2 explains Psalm 8 to us. The man, the Son of Man in Psalm 8 is Jesus Christ. This is what the Bible is teaching. Jesus came as a man. He became a man. Little lower, little while lower than the angels. And he has suffered and died for our sins. God has crowned him with glory and honor because of what he has done. Now, after his resurrection, God has put all things subjection under his feet. But now, we do not see yet, see all things subjected to him, because when you look at the world today, it doesn't seem like everything is under his subjection. And that's what the Bible says. You do not yet see all that. But that reality will be visible when Jesus returns to gather us and judge this sinful world. The reality that the first Adam failed to accomplish. Our Lord Jesus Christ, the second Adam, has completely and perfectly accomplished. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 25. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy that will be abolished is death. For he has put all things in subjection under his feet. But when he says all things are put in subjection, it is evident that he is accepted who put all things in subjection to him. When all things are subjected to him, then the Son himself will also be subjected to the one who subjected all things to him, so that God may be all in all. This is what happened to Jesus Christ. All that you have read in Psalm 8 is all about Christ. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22, and he put all things in subjection under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church. But brothers and sisters, in Jesus Christ, we are united to Christ in all ways. I mean, you know, not God. That's only thing, only aspect that we are not in Christ. So whatever is true of Christ is true of us. So this is Jesus' psalm. He is singing this psalm. So it is also our psalm. Psalm 8. Is our psalm. Why? Because we too will reign as kings with Jesus Christ. God has crowned us with glory and majesty. In Christ, of course. Everything is under our subjection. Look at this. Hebrews chapter 1 verse 14, talking about angels. Are they not all ministering spirits sent out to render service for the sake of those who are inherit salvation? In Christ, even angels are our servants. You know, some Christians, they're so happy. They tell us, oh, we saw angel. I'm like, okay, you saw your slave. I mean, what's the big deal about that? Yeah, they're our servants. Romans 16 verse 20, God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. We crush Satan's head, just like Jesus has done so. The grace of our Lord Jesus be with you. Thus the question, what is man, has to be answered in terms of Jesus Christ and what He has done for us and what He has accomplished for us. What is man? Well, man and woman in Christ are the Son of God. We are sons of God. We are kings of heaven. We are royal priesthood of God. We are Jesus' eternal bride. Oh, now this question, what is man? We're so happy to answer this. But only in terms of what Christ has done and what He has accomplished. Oh, we wish they give us time to answer this question. Because we have so much to say. What is man? You know, angels are asking the same question. They're puzzled. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 12, it was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves but you. In these things which now have been announced to you through those who preach the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things into which angels long to look. Angels, they want to know what's going on. Why Almighty God, God who created them, those angels, why would He die for men? What is man that God would die for him? Do you understand? It doesn't make sense. Why would Almighty God die for men? That's the grace of our God. He died because He loves us. He died to save us so that we could be with Him forever and ever. What is man? It's mind-boggling. Look at the gospel. If you have ever had self-esteem problem, look at the gospel. That even God would die for you. A man. Truly amazing grace of God. Truly amazing glory of God. And brothers and sisters, look around your brothers and sisters and also look at yourself. Do you see the glory of God in them and in you? How God has crowned you and crowned us with glory and majesty? Oh, it might not be visible right now, but one day when we get to heaven, oh, you need more than sunglasses to look at me because I'm going to be shining with the glory of God. That glory is in me. God lives in me. The Holy Spirit lives in me. Do you see that glory? Yeah, instead of masks, you should wear glasses, you know, sunglasses, black ones, so that you could see me, because I'm shining with the glory of God. And I'm not just making these things up. This is my reality. I'm filled with glory of God, because I'm filled with the Holy Spirit who lives in me. What is man? I might not be able to fully answer that, but seeing what God has done for man, man must be something very special. That I know. Because God would not have done what He has done if a man is not so special to Him. God has made us His priests and His kings. And we are His sons now and forever. And when you look into these things, how can we not praise God? So the Psalm 9 ends with this. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. We join the author of this psalm in praising our God now and forever. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. What is man? What are we? That you would even give your life to us. What is man? What are we that you want to spend the eternity with us, together with us, living with us in loving relationship forever and ever? Oh Father, we love you, God. We thank you. We pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.